Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, everybody, and a huge welcome to episode 10. Can you believe it? Number 10, double digits now, of Witchy Wellness Radio. And I am your host, Lauren Chalantani. I'm so happy to be with you here today. Today on this show, we have an interview with the lovely and hilarious nutritionist, self-love, and intuitive eating specialist, Amanda Crichton, and her company, Falcio. We dive into a broad range of topics, but we start off talking about how she started with her own business, what led her through that journey, how you can discern between what your body wants and what it needs in terms of eating, the best way she's found to work with clients who are ready to change. We talk all about social media, how chakras and energy centers affect our eating habits and our behaviors, and what life would look like if you loved yourself fully versus an X amount of number goal for a weight loss. How to help the world and create a huge ripple effect. We talk about privilege and why we're all here today in these bodies, in this culture, and how Amanda is able to tell who her potential clients, which ones are ready for change and which ones are maybe not ready for change, and three amazingly actually simple things you can implement this week in terms of self-love, acceptance, and intuitive eating that are really going to jumpstart your own transformational process. And we end with a little bit of, and we end talking about the difference between giving yourself grace and the grit. And we end it with Amanda actually opening up, diving into her Flourish group coaching program and what to expect. What are the nitty-gritty details that she actually implements in this group coaching program? So without further ado, enjoy the interview, everybody. Well, welcome, Amanda, to Witchy Wellness Radio. And I just wanted to start out to say thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited to share your story, your message, and I know that it will impact and help so many people.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This is actually my first podcast. And also, this is on my bucket list this year. Like, my yearly bucket list is to be on a podcast. So thank you for helping to fulfill one of my goals.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. I'm glad I could help. Yeah. So jumping in, I love hearing everybody's backstory of how they got to today in their own wellness and spirituality, but also how they started their own businesses too, which I know those two things intermingle very, very closely. So could you start off telling us a little bit about your backstory?
Yeah, of course. Well, how much time do we have, first of all? the shorter version is that I mean, since I was a kid, I've enjoyed helping people. I think I've always had a passion for helping others. So when I went to college, I went to Ohio State, I was undecided, ended up being more, I chose nutrition and community health. And then someone kind of said, you know, if you want to do nutrition, you need to be a dietitian. And so I was pretty naive and I just said, okay, let me do that. So I switched over to dietetics, went to a dietetic internship out in Boston, still not fully certain what I wanted to do. I'm currently an entrepreneur, and at the time I knew I did not want to do that. Like, people are crazy for trying to start their own companies right out of school with no experience, no practice. I'm not going to be one of those people. So what happened after that is I worked for a nonprofit for a year, wasn't happy, was teaching classes on how to not be stressed while having like a panic attack behind the scenes. Like, it just wasn't a good moment. I know.
Yeah.
It's just too ironic. I was just getting stressed out about the smallest things and had a lot of anxiety. So I did a number of little side jobs. I was a college recruiter briefly for a volunteer abroad organization. I was supposed to go out into the Peace Corps. I was actually like accepted through the prelim area. I passed a Spanish certification, did all the hoops I needed to jump through. But then I was volunteering in Nicaragua, of all places, when I found out that not all of my paperwork wasn't correct. Or by correct, I mean it didn't meet their standards. And what it came down to was that part about mental health. And I had revisited my therapist to get all of the paperwork done. And I don't know if it was misinterpreted. I don't know what happened, but they didn't feel that they could give me enough talk therapy while serving abroad. And the irony is that I was solo traveling abroad at the time. And so all of that to say, I thought I had a plan for the next 2 years, and that kind of got crushed. So I had moved all of my stuff from Boston to Ohio. I had already been accepted pending all medical clearance. And so then when I found out that mental health part wasn't cleared, I had one of those like, oh shoot moments. What am I going to do? So I ended up moving back to Ohio. I did not want to come back to Ohio at the time. I really dreaded it. Having the idea of just living with my parents after college, there's some shame involved. There's this regret, like, how did I end up here? I had applied for different jobs once I moved back to Ohio, and just nothing was working for me. And I ended up saying, you know, I think I am onto something. I think self-love and emotional health needs to be taken into consideration. So when I was applying for places as a dietitian, I was picky. Like, I didn't want to work in a clinical setting. I wanted to be working with people where I could see them more than once, where I could get to know them and build rapport and actually understand why they were struggling through these emotional health or eating, like emotional eating issues. So that's kind of when I created a program to help with self-love and eating. And then I realized, but I also want to work one-on-one with people. That's kind of the beginning of what is now the company, like the business itself. So there's a bit of a longer, I know I said the shorter end of the story, it's a little bit longer, but that's kind of how that got started. So there's this big emotional health theme that I strive to carry throughout with me as I continue building. And the company itself is called Fulcio. That took me a while to figure out. Fulcio is Latin for support. So what it comes down to is providing a place of support where I'm helping my clients, who are primarily women, just feeling more empowered in order for them to take care of their bodies and treat their bodies how they should be treating it. So that's kind of my backstory, how I got to where I am today.
Beautiful. And I love the name of your company in the meeting behind it, support. And that kind of got me thinking, could you enlighten us how you kind of went from the anxiety, panic attacks, transitioning yourself into self-acceptance, love, and maybe even intuitive eating, and how that transformation happened?
Yeah, so it's still happening. I think with many people, when it comes to self-love, it is a journey. Like, it's not... And with the diet too, it's not some quick fix. Even with the brain, it's not a quick transition. It's a process. So there are definitely days where I'm still struggling and I like fall back into some old habits. But I think something that was very pivotal for me was when I went to Nicaragua. And I've been there twice. I went there the first time, I studied some Spanish, and then I volunteered. And then I returned the following year and I stayed at an eco community on this island of Ometepe, and it was amazing. And I think there I was really exposed to people just accepting their bodies, and we were eating food that was from the island. We were eating more intuitively. I just remember eating a salad there the first time, and it was disgusting, Lauren. Like, I just, my taste buds were not ready to handle a real salad should be like, where they're literally picking the leaves. Like, I remember there was like a branch, and I had to like pull all the leaves off the branch to put into our salad. It was so bitter. But over time, my taste buds adjusted to what real food actually is, and I started to enjoy it more and I could appreciate it more. So I think there on that island in Anita, that's where I really started to look at myself and to feel more comfortable in my own skin. So just people being comfortable and being surrounded by other people who are completely, or at least appear to be, completely at ease with their bodies, that's when I realized, okay, maybe it's okay for me to be accepting of my own. So that was really helpful for me, just going and being there.
That's awesome. I know we're always a work in progress. And sometimes we feel like we take 3 steps forward and maybe even 5 backwards. It's just, it ebbs and flows. And I don't think there's ever one end goal with anything.
My friend gave me something for my birthday. It's on my wall here and it says optimist. And it says someone who figures that, hold on, someone who figures that taking a step backwards after taking a step forward is not as a disaster. It's a cha-cha.
It's a cha-cha. I love it.
And I was a dance instructor. I taught like group fitness classes, including Zumba. And so cha-cha is very like near and dear to my heart. So I get that completely. So thinking of it that way, that mm-hmm. it's just, that's the way of life. It ebbs and flows, you know? And so even for me now, it's beautiful to see people, you know, rising and falling, but figuring it out. Like they're on the up and up. And that's really cool to see.
Yeah. When you were telling the salad story, I tell clients and I tell myself this too, is the more bitter that tastes, or usually I use kale as an example, the more disgusting kale tastes to you, the more you actually need it. Yeah. So if it tastes good to you or like semi-normal, then you know you overall you're like, oh, I'm pretty healthy. But if you think it tastes like bitter, like dirt, chances are that means we need a little adjustment. Like you said, it's like your taste buds and your body were not ready. It's like shock therapy.
Yep, it was.
Right.
And the bad thing is I didn't have anything else to eat. Like that was it. We didn't have stores around us. There was a little boy that came around and sold these brownies, which were amazing. Hey, little boy, let me get these brownies. I need some chocolate. But yeah. And so at the first I'm like, man, I'm just going to be eating rice the whole time. And so it did take me a while, but when you have nothing else, because I think it's so easy here, like if we don't like lettuce, if we don't like vegetables, we eat other food. It's what a lot of people do, as opposed to eating things that their body's actually craving. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like to balance out what you need and what you're craving. You know, the two, you think that they could be different, but I like to kind of try to merge the two. Mm-hmm. How do you kind of deal with that versus like what you know you need versus what you want?
I think that kind of comes down to the base of intuitive eating though. Like if mm-hmm. you're truly in tune with your body, I'd like to think that we know, like it's knowing what it's craving. So even times of my cycle, like there are times when I usually just start my period, I'm not hungry at all. And so I'm still trying to figure out, all right, is my body telling me I don't need food right now? If I'm not eating for the next 5 or 6 hours, am I just doing a little fast kind of thing? Or do I need to force myself to eat? Like, is my body, does it really want food? And so even things like that, I feel like if I'm truly listening to my body, it knows, like it knows what's best for me. But I think in our society, we tend to mask what our body needs by stress, by alcohol, by sugar, by all these other things, so then we can't actually hear what our body's trying to tell us.
Amen, I don't know, girl. No, I'm just like, preach, girl.
Thank you.
You know, we use not only food, but like caffeine, social media, other things. It's like numbing.
Yeah.
To ignore what we're really needing. Yeah. And I think mm-hmm. cravings also do that. They're numbing what you're trying to not feel.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So you mentioned about your company and how you started off with like a group program, but also one-on-one coaching. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of walk us through what working with you looks like and how you kind of came up with that and how that's the best way for somebody to transform and actually implement this in their life?
Yeah, for sure. So I will say it's always a work in progress. I don't know if when you started, I just felt really not, I looking back a year ago to a year younger Amanda, I was very naive and I am very ambitious. I'm still just as ambitious, but I'm just like, I'm going to build this company. It's going to be up and running in 3 months and I'm going to be set. It is so, so much harder than that. So all of that to say that my programs are changing as I transition and as I learn more about myself and learn more about what I want the company to represent. So I would say right now, when it comes to people wanting to work with me, it's a matter of what do they want to work on. So I really focus on self-love because at the core of my beliefs, I think love it can be the answer. So if we are truly loving who we are, if we're loving our bodies, we're respecting our bodies. And if we're respecting our bodies, we're giving it what it needs. We're eating how we're supposed to be eating because we're listening to our body. We're exercising and providing our body with movement because we know that's what's going to keep our body healthy. So I really work with people who are ready to love themselves and feel like they don't know how to do that. And so I help them walk through those steps. And then I'd say intuitive eating, yes, I'm a dietitian. I focus on intuitive eating. That's almost part two. So I really want everyone to love who they are, because if they're not ready to do that, they can't eat according to what their body's needing. So people assume, dietitian, you're going to give me a food plan. That's the last thing I want to do, because that's me telling you how to eat for your body. I want you to be telling me that you're listening to what your body's saying. And that's a win for me. So when I had a friend say, Amanda, I only ate one Twinkie instead of two, I might not be a fan of Twinkies, but if she's starting to listen to her body, that is a win. She said she threw the other one away and she's never done that before. Like, those are wins for me. And no, it's not fruits and vegetables and it's not the ideal food, but it is something that is a win for her. And that is progress. What does that look like? So we focus self-love or nutrition, depends on the client, but I have a number of different things. So I have some like free things even online. So my Instagram account, I'm pretty active, especially on my personal one. I'm trying to build up my business account more and also figure out, do I want to have two accounts? But I talk a lot about intuitive eating there. And then I also have a body image boot camp. So that has a couple of journal prompts in there too, and also encourages people to do things that are helpful for learning how to respect their body. Like you mentioned, social media. One of those is key of, I recommend, you know, unfollowing people who don't bring you joy. And that's a whole, maybe we can talk about that later with the whole full moon ceremony I did last night, letting go of people and social media accounts that do not uplift me, or those that I feel scared to unfollow because they might know, and what happens if they might know. So I, in the body image bootcamp, I encourage people to do things that help them overall and to invest in self-care. So that's something I also have for free. And then in terms of self-love, I have my self-love challenge coming up. It's called Flourish. So it's a 21-day online self-love course. And it's a group course where we use a private Facebook group, and there are picture prompts. So there are weekly themes, and each theme has a prompt each Monday through Friday. Let me know if I'm losing you, Lori, because I feel like it can be a little tricky. So for example, the first week is going to be about childhood and upbringing. And this isn't your typical self-love challenge, like what do you love? Do you love your dog or something? This is, you know, is your family expressive when it comes to love as a child, or do you feel like you were more neglected? Like, we dig in deep right away. And we talk about some tough issues that many people tend to push down and bottle up. So our goal there is to kind of open up that bottle. If they are expressing, you know, a lot of concern, or if they're getting more anxiety about that, definitely refer them to someone who can help heal that issue. But a lot of the times it increases an awareness, and they might say, wow, I never knew that I had this resentment towards my sister. And I had all this jealousy because she was the older sister and she was the smarter one and she got more attention. And so they're starting to realize, wow, I held on to this limiting belief for so long. And I never knew that I judged her for that. So they're starting to wake up and realize a lot of things about themselves through this program. So the goal for this program is to help participants learn to respect themselves more, to stop comparing themselves as much to other people, and then just to love who they are. And I've run this program a few times. It's really beautiful to see the difference. I have a before and after assessment, if you will, where I like to get all nerdy and collect some data, and seeing the results, like seeing that the participants are decreasing that comparison to other people by 20%. They're increasing their perception of self-love by 18%. Like, people are learning to love themselves more. Like, that's the cool part that makes me really excited, because that's when I know I'm making a difference. This program is making a difference, and there's so much more for it to expand into. So that's the exciting part. So I Flourish 21 days. I'm excited. Yeah, this will be my third round of Flourish this coming August. It's amazing to see, especially just to witness people in the group and learning from one another. I think the community support is essential too. So I have that. And then I have another program that's a self-love intensive, and I've run it as a group program before, but right now I'm just offering it one-on-one. and it's a weekly, kind of like a weekly accountable self-love program, weekly accountability self-love program. And it's called Shakti. And Shakti is Sanskrit for, you might know.
I was like, ooh, girl, yes, I love that name.
Empowerment and empowering. Yes. And we even talk about the chakras too. And we talk about how the chakras are related to emotional health and nutrition. So for example, the root chakra, when you're not grounded, when you're insecure, when you're feeling anxious, if you're out with friends, for example, you know, how does that affect your eating habits? If you're feeling anxious, do you eat the entire plate in front of you and just eat mindlessly? Or can you be present? Can you be grounded? So we bring that in too. So there's that spiritual aspect of Shakti, which I love. And that was kind of the original. That was the first thing I made, is using that spirituality of Shakti. And that's when I realized I need to have other things as well. So Flourish came about. And then I do one-on-one coaching. So if people are like, eh, I don't know about this intensive self-love thing, and I've already done Flourish, or I don't know if I want to be in a group program, I do one-on-one coaching too. And so I work with clients wherever their needs need to be met. Sometimes if they want to talk nutrition, I just gauge it, because really I have to make sure that they're loving themselves, because if they're not there, we can't even talk food, and I'm going to have to refer, I have to refer to someone else, because I just can't serve those needs.
I like what you just said, is how you gauge to see if they're ready, if they're loving themselves and ready to actually take on the nutrition part of it. I like to view it with my clients is, are they switching them out of a state of lack into a state of more of an abundance viewpoint of life and then of themselves, of almost like a if then happy, like if I lose X amount of pounds, then I'll love myself. And it's always a work in progress with a self-love thing, but the shift for me, I like to view it as, you know, what end feeling do I want to feel with those 10 pounds? And do I love myself enough now to do what it needs to take? Do I have the tapas, which is like, for yogi people, is like the will, or like the gusto to be able to hold myself accountable while still loving myself?
Yeah. When it comes to health, like if they're talking pounds, I say, we don't talk pounds with me. And so what I like to ask is, what would life look like if I could love myself fully?
Ooh, I like that.
So like, and I kind of have them do a visualization exercise. What does that life look like? What do you look like? And then I've also asked, I went to a group at Ohio State, and I had all of the women write down, what does a perfect body look like? And so this was a group, the group that I spoke to was a group that's about health and empowerment. And it was fascinating because so many of them wrote flat stomach, thigh gap. And here, this is supposed to be the group where other people look up to them. Like, they're the healthy ones, they're the empowered ones. But about a third of the girls, and there were maybe 30 to 40 in there, about a third of them still had this unrealistic expectation of what health should look like. And so it doesn't matter who they are. Like, there's still this theme of, I need to look a certain way in order to be healthy. So I really push away from that and say, health comes in all sorts of different shapes and sizes, and that's okay. And I even like to compare, everyone loves dogs, at least. I think everyone should love dogs. Are you a dog?
They should.
Okay. You don't tell a poodle that it's ugly because it doesn't look like a golden retriever. Like, you don't do that. They're all different types of dogs. We're all different types of people and humans. We all have different shapes and frames and sizes. Who are we to tell someone that they need to change their appearance to fit into what society has deemed as perfect? Like, that's just not cool. It's not right. And I'm just shocked. It starts to get me like fired up, because I get so mad at the media for portraying this unrealistic expectation. So my goal too is to kind of get rid of that belief that you need to change your body or lose 10 pounds. Because it's not necessary. I mean, yes, sometimes if we're not like treating our bodies the way it should be, there might be some weight that comes off because we start to treat ourselves according to how we need to be treated. Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. So it depends on the client, but if they're like, Amanda, I just want to lose 30 pounds, I'll say, you know, I'll ask them why. What's the point? Do you feel good? how does your body feel? Like, if you're not feeling good, that makes a little sense. But if you feel great, you're loving your life, and you feel like you have a little extra weight according to the BMI chart, you're overweight, does that really matter? If your blood works fine, if everything's good on the charts, who are you losing the weight for? Is it actually for you? So I get like, we dive in. Yeah, we get pretty deep.
And also with the weight thing, I like to tell clients, muscle weighs more than fat. So if you really start committing to working out or even lifting, and you start building that strength, which I love that feeling of feeling strong, don't even look at that number.
Because then that whole disorder.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I would like
it's tricky.
It is tricky. I would like to say I've been kind of up and down, well, my adult life up and down kind of with weight. But my natural body type is, so I have a very small frame. And I would like to say on the flip side of things, I've been skinny shamed a lot. I take care of myself. I don't even know how much I weigh. I work out a couple times a week. I love myself the way it is. But, you know, some people can't accept that either. And I know that comes from a place, whether you're shaming somebody for being overweight or underweight or anywhere in between. I think people need to realize that that criticizer, that comes from a place of lack and lack of self-worth in themselves. And they're just projectile vomiting on you because either they're jealous or I don't know, that you're shining too freaking bright for them to handle. I like to put that out there too, because it's at every end of the spectrum, it doesn't matter what you look like. Like you said, like, you can't tell a poodle that it's ugly or not worthy of being loved if it doesn't look like a retriever.
Yep. It's tricky though, because your body type is what people crave. It's what people want to look like. And so it's hard because you could be like, so I know some people who are very small framed. They don't work out at all. They eat, they eat out to eat all, they go get fast food half the time. They go to happy hour all the time and they still look the same. And they still might be like told you're healthy versus someone else who's deemed as overweight, works out multiple times a week, much better. They're still the ones who are like shamed too. So it's so hard because you see it on both sides, and you have some people saying you're too skinny or like you're so lucky or things like it's almost like checking your privilege. And I have to do that for myself being a white person too. And that's a whole other podcast session we can talk about, because I have to constantly remind myself that I have access to so much more than most people just by being an American. Like, I might not have a ton of money, but I know I'm wealthier than so many other people in this world. Oh, yeah. Remind myself that so many times. But privilege is a whole other topic that we don't even have to touch today. But that's something I'm also very passionate about, just because of how, like, the way we look, like, even my appearance is more on the positive side. I have a great smile and I think I've got a great personality that draws people into me. And sometimes, like, that's hard for other business owners. I'm in a business class right now, and I'm just thinking that's gotta be tough for some of my classmates, because if they don't have a personality that's outgoing and engaging and interesting, then they're not going to get the same business that I might get. And it's not that I'm any better or worse than them. That's just how that privilege works, if that makes sense. Now everyone's going to look up like, who's this Amanda girl and her personality, but that's okay. But it's just, it's interesting. And I find myself thinking about this a lot, just how, like, what makes me different and what makes me set apart. And is that something that I have naturally, or is that something I've learned over time? Is that something I've just been blessed to have because of genetics? Like, I will go for hours just thinking about all of these things. Like, what is life? What is the meaning? What's the purpose kind of thing?
I love that. I saw online the other day, talking about the money and abundance thing. And if, I don't know where the source was, but the quote said, if you have over $10 in your bank account, you're more wealthy than like 75% of the rest of the world. Yeah. Take that one in for a second. Yeah. That's huge. Mm-hmm. But I love what you just kind of ended with, of viewing it as a privilege. taking that whole kind of philosophy, turning it more spiritual, we're brought here for a reason. We're brought into the culture that we're born into, the bodies that we're born into, the gifts and talents and personalities that we have for whatever we're supposed to learn, whatever we're supposed to grow, what we're supposed to, when we're able to heal that and grow and share that light. I think that we're always evolving and always changing. Completely agree with you, have to be aware and be so grateful for the privileges you do have. But I do think that we're born into these positions, not out of a place of privilege, but out of a place of like your higher self, God, whatever you want to call it. You decided a long time before you came here why you needed to come here to learn certain lessons and to help other people. So I think you should be very aware of how privileged you are compared to the rest of the world and be always so gracious and loving. And of course, sharing what you can, sharing your talent, sharing your wealth, your time. But just realize that the body, your culture, your privilege, you're born into that specific physical manifestation for a reason. Anyway, going down the woo-woo train already. That's what we do here at Witchy Wellness Radio. And I love what you said about the Shakti program and the intensive love program that you offer and working through the chakras. And the, did you say you do the first three? Is that what you said?
I do them all.
Okay. So for me, I wasn't sure if I was just thinking out loud. I like to focus on the first three. For a lot of people, whether they're type A personalities,
who are
kind of more on the or getting more on the spiritual realm, or the very spiritual people who have still have issues with the first three chakras in terms of taking care of their physical health, I've seen that if we can work through the first three chakras, the lower three, then you can jump up into your heart. And when you can jump into your heart, that's when you can share. And it's more of like an outward energy. But the first three chakras are more inward. And like you said, that's to do with cultural stuff. I find metaphysically, sometimes with weight gains, even unexplained weight gains, that's just not natural to your body, or like you might be really stressed out, but it's not something that your natural set point is. Your body's trying to ground itself because you're not, you're up here in anxious town, or you're trying to protect yourself from something. You know, you're trying to insulate, you know, you don't want to get hurt again. So I love combining that with the physical health and wellness and this more spiritual aspect, because just like any of your programs, of how you do the deep work and how that might be affecting your self-love and how that affects your nutrition and wellness. And so I'll open this up to you. Do you have any good stories with working with the energy centers of chakras and anything that you've kind of seen?
I'd say I'm a student when it comes to learning the chakras. Like, I'm still learning about them. But I would agree that I think a lot of the times it's the first three. And usually the first three, like, they have something to do with that opposite chakra. So, like, the ones up top, meaning we tend to be all in our head.
Mm-hmm.
And so you hear about people with anxiety, a lot of the times, especially that anxiety, we're always thinking. And so it's because we're always thinking about the future, thinking about what could be, thinking about why we don't have X, Y, and Z, as opposed to grounding ourselves and being present. So it makes sense that the three, and I love that too, because I think especially the first three, I would say, are pretty, pretty darn important. And I'd say that's what a lot of my clients tend to forget about, grounding themselves, because everyone's full of anxiety, but I'm learning. And then the second one, the sacral chakra. So that's about sexuality, but that's also about having fun. So one of the questions that I like to ask my clients is, what do you do for fun? So Lauren, I'm going to put you on the spot. I know usually you're asking the questions, but what do you like to do for fun?
Right now I love going on walks. I used to love running, but my body right now is like, not so much. I really like moving my body, not for the the sake of exercising or trying to maintain anything. It just feels really good on my body and it feels fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, and dancing. I love dance parties. I get home from traffic or before I do the dishes, I like to do a few dance parties. Like, I'm all out. People probably can see me. I have my like shades open and I'm like shaking my thing and like hair flipping left and right. But I find what I like to do for fun, if there's something I don't want to do, I do what I want to do for fun first, and changing my emotional state before I do that is key.
Huh. I like that. Yeah. I haven't thought of it that way. So like do a little dance before you need to do the dishes or like do something like adulting type of work. Yep. I like that. That's a cool little trick. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
I was just going to say, I ask that because most of the time people can't come up with anything, or they might be able to come up with one or two, and I think three is the most I've heard, but when they come up with something, it's like, I travel for fun and I read books for fun. So then I'll ask, okay, when was the last time you traveled? And they might say, oh, like 6 months ago. And so regular fun. So I love that you answered that. So I kind of put you on the spot, but you did a perfect job. You know what you do for fun. And so if you have, you know, your listeners right now, I challenge them to think about what they do for fun. Listener, what do I do for fun? Ask yourself that. And are you doing that regularly? Because that's important to do to just help stay sane for your own mental health and to be grounded, I think. So bringing it back to the chakras, to be grounded, it's focusing on doing things that are enjoyable and not giving yourself permission when you accomplish something, then you can have fun. Like, oh, once I finish this assignment, then I'm going to see my friend. Or I don't know. You know what I'm talking about? Like, once I exceed so many goals at work, then I'm going to go and have that cake that I've been wanting. I don't know. Like, people like reward themselves in such irrational ways, and it's not healthy for ourselves, because then we deprive fun, and then that just makes our mental health even worse. So yeah,
I totally agree.
That's all chakra related. Yeah.
No, it is. And it's divine feminine related. You know, we all, no matter what sex we are, no matter what sexual preference we have, we all have a balance of both feminine and masculine. Yeah. And I think they're both very wounded. And I think we're seeing that across the media, politics, which I try not to pay attention to, because the feminine is all about play. It's about creation. And that has a lot to do with the sacral aspect of the chakras. Mm-hmm. And I like to tell people we're meant to create, and even doing something for fun to create. You don't have to have a business. In fact, you should create not with money tied to it, because when you have money tied to it, sometimes it gets a little hairy. Just to create for fun. And that can be a dance party. You're creating a dance. You're creating movement. This is kind of a tangent, but I'm going to bring it back to the privilege and the politics and the reason why I think that we're all born into these certain situations and these bodies is do what you need to do if you feel called to help other people. But I think the single most important thing that you can do is love yourself, but maintaining that self-love and that high vibration, if you will, or this high emotional state, because we're getting woo-woo again. The more people that can do that and maintain that, the conscious collective, everybody is going to, it's going to raise everybody up. So that doesn't mean to be ignorant. Doesn't mean to ignore the bad. Like, we have to accept everything internally and externally, but our main goals, even if you don't have a conscious business or a service-based business that helps other people, helping yourself. I think self-care is such like a household name now. I don't know. You know, just like, oh, I can take a bath.
Big marketing thing these days. Yeah.
But I like to see it as it's like a spiritual thing. You're helping the entire world.
No, I agree. I get that.
Yeah.
And because when you're taking care of yourself, then you feel better about yourself, and then you feel more positive, and then your positive energy is then radiating, and then other people might get that energy, and then they might say, what are they doing? I learn, oh, they're taking care of themselves. Maybe I should try that. What do you know? I tried it. I feel better. And so it's like, yeah, a ripple effect, hopefully. And I don't know if you see that with some of your friends, but I love it when some of my friends will message me and say, hey, I took a bath today and thought of you. Not in like a weird way, but they're like, myself. Or I have a friend who tagged me and she's like, look, I got this like sleepy lotion. I'm going to wear this lotion and as a form of self-care. That's what I love. Like if I'm that person that people think of when they think of self-care, that's a win for me. So I think that's important. And I don't know, do you have people that say, hey, I meditated today, thought of you.
Oh yeah. I meditated today, or look at my green smoothie. I get a lot of food pictures still. Yeah. I get all that from my friends and family too. You know, I tried for the longest time to get my parents to eat healthier, and kind of force stuff down their throat. And then I just let go and said, you know, I just do me. And, I happened to like be over and they watched a documentary with me. Cause that's what I always want to watch anyway, documentary or chick flicks. Those are my two. And I think it was Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, the juicing documentary, which is great if you guys haven't seen that. And now they juice a couple times a year. They eat like pretty much all fresh vegetables and fruits, just based on seeing my own personal transformation in terms of my emotional well-being and how I love myself, and just like that energy ripple effect has been great to see. But also it is hard. I don't know about you, but like people that are very close and dear to you that you want to help, or I almost have to catch myself trying to coach them.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Lord.
Because you want to help, but they ain't hearing that from you.
Yep. Yeah.
All the time. And
I've had it before where I've said to a friend, cause I want her to work. I want to work for her. I want her to be one of my clients. And I said, girl, you are in the same place as you were 6 months ago. You said you wanted to work with me then. You're still super stressed. Like, I can help you. And I've had this theme of control lately and letting go of that control. Like, that's been prominent in my life. And I just, you know, if she's not ready, she's not ready. And I need to continue to just focus on what I'm doing and trust that she's still watching from afar, which I know she is. She's like, follow me on Instagram. She can see what I'm doing. But then just trusting when her time comes, like she's going to come to me and say, I'm ready now. And then she will be ready to dedicate that time, as opposed to forcing it and having her like kind of do it, but not really internally be ready to do it. It's hard. It is hard. And I know like my ego loves being right. And I know that I can help people. And so it's just like, oh, I know I'm right. I know I can like help fix you, but they have to be ready. And it's funny because I can think of times in my life when I've done this, where I've tried to correct for other people. Like I said, that's been a theme. Even I went to yoga class a couple times last week, and in Shavasana, like those are the things that come to mind. Like the times in high school when I was like trying to control other people or trying to manipulate an ex-boyfriend by saying, you need to stop smoking or else you can't date me. Like even back in high school and younger, like I was trying to control people's choices. And at the end of the day, it's not my role of control.
Mm-hmm. And we can be, I mean, a lot of those people, you're very conscious of what you need to change. You can be a conscious victim, is like what I like to say. So I love that how you kind of interview your clients before to see if they're ready to work with you in terms of self-love. How can you tell that process? What are some red flags, and what do you see the shifts? And maybe those people that weren't ready, but then eventually they were ready.
Yeah, well, people who aren't ready, they tend to say, well, it comes down to money. People don't want to pay. And so they just say, I really can't afford it. And what drives me crazy also is to see people say, I can't afford it, but then they're going to concerts and they're doing other things. They're getting their nails done. And I get self-care, believe me. But rather than say, like, I can't afford it, say it's not a priority right now. Like, let's just change the wording. And that's okay. That's okay if now is not the right time. I get it. And that's not to say that not, like, some people really, like, hey, they cannot afford it. They're, like, really cutting their costs right now, and there's no way. I get that, too. But a lot of the times, it's prioritizing. And so when I talk to my clients, I'll ask them, what is the biggest barrier to working with me? And then we'll, or just to your own self-love. And so we'll have a conversation about that. So really, in the interview, I kind of already know them because of these answers, or a lot of the times they've been friends from college or high school. And so I really do actually know them. And then for some people, like you asked, like, what are some red flags? Even on social media, I can tell there are some people on there just by their pictures who still struggle with body dysmorphia, like comparing their bodies to other people or thinking that they're not good enough. Yet I see many of them are still advocates in the body acceptance movement. And so those are some red flags that are a little different than clients, but that's something that I'm also having to let go of, is comparing myself or comparing other people who do similar work, who I think are still suffering from an eating disorder, or comparing themselves to other people. Because does that make sense? I feel like I'm kind of on a tangent, but that's something I'm also working through right now, is because it's hard not to control those people who are trying to help others, but they're still struggling themselves to the point where they're not being good examples to others.
No, I get that. And I kind of go through those phases too, but bring it back to the spiritual side of things. Once again, I like to think of like the people who are called to maybe work with them, if they are someone who does the same thing, either they're going to tell that energy is off, or they're not going to want to work with them.
Yeah,
I truly believe you just got to keep doing your thing and working on shining your light, and who needs to come to work with you will be guided to work with you.
And that's something I've been learning, just to let go of. So last night, I'll bring in the little full moon. I had a little full moon circle ceremony with a friend, so we got a little witchy too, and it was really fun. I don't know if you've ever done anything like that, but she had a crystal wand, and we like did a circle, and we had our little
circle.
I know, she knew what to do, and we drew a card before. We drew two cards, and one was of a stone, and I want to say ironically, but I don't think it's a coincidence or irony, but a friend of mine went to Seattle this weekend, and he was telling me how there's a certain stone there. I think it's called selenium, and it's orange. And so I looked it up, and I'm like, oh, does this have to do with the sacral chakra? And sure enough, it did. It's about like trusting your inner truth. And can you guess what stone card I drew?
Let me guess.
This is a deck of like 50 something cards. And so it's funny because she had the deck, and I'm trying to like feel like, is there an energy? Am I feeling something? I don't know. And then I drew that card, and like, that's really interesting that that's the one card of all of them that I drew. So I had that card in mind for the ceremony. And then also the other card I drew, so it was a tarot card, and it was the Five of Wands, but it was reversed. And so with that, more or less what it means is to stop comparing yourselves to other people, more or less. And that's just what I was telling my friend that I'm working through, because there are a couple people in my, you could say in my circle, but I compare myself to them a lot. And so I was telling her I need to kind of do a social media detox and just kind of bite the bullet and say, we are friends and I like who she is, but I can't follow her anymore. And after drawing that card, I'm like, man, I really think like this is what the universe is telling me, and to have fun and create, but not worry about what the other people are doing, especially if their visions and values do not align with mine. And that's actually what I was working on before we had this chat, as I was going through social media. And the crazy part is, guess how many people I was following on Instagram before, like earlier today?
I don't know. I know I follow over 1,000 people, but I follow a lot.
Because I knew I needed to unfollow. I was following 666 people.
Of course.
And that's like the evil, right? That's like the most evil of them all in numbers, right?
Well, I think it probably gets a bad rep. I'll have to look up what that number means, but I know like Friday the 13th actually used to be like a feminine sacral holiday, but through the ages, it's been flipped to be something bad. So
we'll have to look that up, because I thought
I'm looking that up right now. Continue on your story.
I thought 666 was like the bad evil number. And I'm like, of course, like the universe is telling me to quit following these people. It's been on my brain. And then when I finally start to do it, this is the number that's been like, that I've been sitting on for a while and following. So I was just going through today and realizing, you know, I've never talked to this person. Someone just mentioned, like, told me I should follow them, and I followed them. There were giveaways if you liked, you know, if you followed this person. So I just started unfollowing. So I think I unfollowed over 100 people so far.
Yeah.
Because I realized if I've never had a conversation with you, like, Instagram's for visual, like the visuals. If I haven't had a conversation with you, if you're not posting regularly, like, why, you know, if we're not close at all, or if you're just a friend by affiliation, like, there was a networking group that I was in, they're like, oh, let's follow each other on social media. And so I did, but I'm like, I don't know them. And so that's been good. So I'm, you know, unfollowing some of those people. My number is no longer 666. That was just
darn. I'll read you. I found what it means, which you might actually like this. So, angel number 666 is a message to trust the universe and your angels or your guides with supporting and assisting you in achieving your desires in regards to home, family, social, and personal life. Keep your thoughts and feelings focused on achieving your goals, and you will attain your desires with the help of your guides and angels.
Okay. So maybe that was the sign for them to be like, keep like, going.
Do it, girl.
Don't follow them. Maybe you've never talked to them. Why are you following them? Yep.
And sometimes I think I see a lot of synchronicities like that with repeating numbers. Like, it freaks me out. I've told you stories.
We got dinner. I remember you told me.
I've told you so many times. Yeah. And recently, the past 2 weeks, I've been seeing 777 a lot. I had 777 followers on Instagram a few weeks ago. And then I look on my personal Facebook page and I added a couple people randomly. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at it and I had 777 friends on my personal Facebook page. And I was like, what? And the interview that I did with, our fellow friend, Dr. Zach Thomas, the chiropractor, we recorded it over Zoom, and the whole interview wasn't this long, but the time that I recorded it was 1 hour, 11 minutes, and 11 seconds. Like, I didn't plan that. I couldn't have that, like.
That, wait, we got to go in 3, 2.
Yeah, I know. It was just like, I had no idea how long we were recording for, and that just like blew me out of the water. So I think sometimes, just unpacking this a little bit.
Yeah.
I like seeing, for me, or seeing repeating numbers like that makes me feel very reassured and like, no matter what number it is, and I'm being guided and I'm very connected. But sometimes, like, I just had to look that up just to see what it meant. but sometimes it can mean like, there's a lot, I'm no means an expert with numerology at all, but it is kind of cool to see if you're getting the same type of number repeating multiple times to see what is trying to be said. But yeah, I just like to view it overall as just like a fun little like message.
Ooh, yeah, you know, a little reminder
that we're all connected to everything. Mm. So that's great. Unfollowing, I'm sure you're going to feel.
Yeah, that's the goal. Like, if I'm, because especially I would notice, I would almost watch people's stories just to catch them saying something that would bother me. Because there's someone who, she promotes body positivity, but she doesn't promote intuitive eating and listening to your body and eating according to your body. Or she'll talk about reducing calories. And I'm just like, no. And so I just wait sometimes and like, let me see if she does today. And so those are the kind of people that I'm just like, if I'm looking at your profile in a negative way, or if I'm looking for something, that's not what I need to be doing. Like, that's my ego that's trying to check itself, and I need to not be doing that. So I think it will be nice just having more positive people in my life.
And I think this is an important discussion to have because this applies to everybody, and I view it as a form of self-love and care. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, I think you've almost even exactly said this, you were looking for something wrong. You were looking for something to literally trigger you, mm-hmm. which is what I think so many people use current political events and world news and relationships, these things outside of themselves, they're waiting and seeking for these things to be triggered.
Yeah.
When really you gotta do that inner work, like what you do with your Flourish program, asking those deep questions, diving in, where is this coming from?
Yep. Because if I wanted to go deep and actually journal more frequently, which ideally I would like to do that, but asking myself, why do I do this? Why do I make myself feel triggered? Because I'm doing it to myself, you know? It's almost like you're a self-harm in a way. Like, mm-hmm. Why am I doing this? Why am I forcing myself to be exposed to something that I know is going to make me upset? Because that could be a whole other introspective session that I have with myself that I don't want to have anytime soon. But if I wanted to go there, that'd be a great place for me to, like, ask those questions.
Cool. Do you have anything in terms of self-love and maybe even intuitive listening or eating, listening to, we need to listen, that you, just some easy little tips and tools people can kind of use this week? I know, like, what we just talked about, social media and asking why am I doing this, that'd be great. But anything that pops off the top of your head that can add a little bit of value and transformation to our listeners' lives.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the first one, obviously, like we said, unfollowing people on Instagram, especially if you're on Instagram a lot, and asking yourself kind of what we were just discussing, is this helpful or is this triggering? Because the goal for me, at least with my Instagram account, is to be positive and to be real. Because I know so many of the accounts, they, like the, what's the FITSPO, and people just are like, oh, I want to look like this. But I try to keep it real. So keep accounts that are real and keep accounts that are uplifting and encouraging. So that would be my first one. When it comes to intuitive eating, I like to encourage everyone to have at least one hyper mindful meal. And by hyper mindful, probably just mindful for most people, because a lot of people, a lot of clients, they're eating in front of a television, in front of a laptop, in front of their iPhone, or with friends. So I would encourage people, try to have a meal, or in the car, but try to have a meal completely alone, by yourself, in silence, at the table, where all you're doing is eating. You are taking a bite, you are tasting the flavor of the food, and then you're putting your fork down because you're not shoving it all in your mouth, but you're eating it mindfully. So I think just once, even if they try that once a week, I mean, ideally once a day would be great. I mean, all meals would be great, but people are so busy these days. That's why I challenge people, just try once a week. Try once, you know, twice a week. See if you can do that. But that's just to encourage that awareness, because once they become more aware, I've had clients say, wow, I realize I don't even like corn dogs, or wow, I ate this and realized that I like, you know, I like cherries and I didn't think I liked them, but I actually had a really good one the other day and ended up eating more. So I think paying attention to your food is helpful. So being aware is something I would also do. And let's see, I think I want to do three. I want to do one more. I'm like, what is the best tip? I think something that I ideally would be doing more as well is having more quiet time to myself, whether that is meditation. And so I do that sometimes. There's an app that I use, but I just think sitting and collecting my thoughts. So for me, that's a form of self-care. So I would encourage that person, I say quiet time, but whatever their self-care to them. So maybe creating that list of things that they like to do for fun. That's what I would tell them to do. Create that list and then do some things that you enjoy. I think a lot of the times, like we already mentioned earlier, we set an expectation that we have to meet this expectation before we can allow ourselves fun. Before, like, we have to get through the entire work week in order to have fun, because fun is only for the weekend. And I think that's a ridiculous conception, like idea, but that's what we've been exposed to. That's what we think is supposed to be right. Whereas, like, no, just have fun throughout the week. Do fun things throughout the day. So I would say finding time to have fun. That would probably be my third thing, and realizing what fun is.
Yeah. Wow, those are game changers right there. I mean, they're little things. People will be like, yeah, whatever. But those three, I mean, I work with clients, and those are some of the three main components that we work on. And give yourself some grace if you F up a little bit. Because
seriously, all the time, yeah. I mean, I was sick yesterday and I ate like a sleeve of basically, or they're like a kind of Oreo, but not Oreo, a different brand. But I'm like, a year ago me would have felt super guilty about that. But I'm like, hey, I haven't been able to eat food at all today. This is fine. Mm-hmm. And then I had a whole NIH Chipotle after that and I was good. So yes, understanding that you don't need to feel guilty if you quote unquote slip up, or if things don't go according to your plan, just keep going, because tomorrow's a new day, and you know, we're always changing, we're always evolving and learning from our learning from ourselves.
And I like to, I give myself sometimes a hard time is with the introspective quiet time and meditation. I never regret meditating. I never do. But to get my ass sitting down on that mat, especially first thing when I wake up.
I'm the same, especially, well, I'm not even there. I'm so far away from meditation consistently, but exercise is my like Achilles heel where I'm like, ugh, I dread going, this is not going to be fun. But then once I'm there, once I'm on the mat, once I'm at a cycle class, whatever, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you don't regret it. Yeah. That's perfect. I love how you said that.
And what I like to say with, because a lot of people are big into like, well, at least I am, morning routine.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't want to meditate sometimes in the morning, I might have a dance party right when I wake up or go for a walk or like doing whatever those couple of things that are like your fun things, but asking yourself in the moment, what's the most possible fun thing I can do right now?
I like that.
So giving yourself grace is like, maybe it's not meditating. Maybe it's not eating that salad. Maybe it is eating half of a sleeve of the cookies or all of it and realizing that that's what you need in this moment to emotionally feel better. I think that people that are stuck in depression or anger or victimhood expect when they start working with a coach or start working with their health or wellness or spirituality that they're just going to jump instantly up here to joy, to pure happiness, to love and abundance and blah, blah, blah. It's just as important to, you know, slowly go up that ladder coming from like disempowerment and victimhood. If you can jump up to anger, even that you're pissed off, at least there's some energy there. When you're depressed, there's nothing moving. And realizing that, yeah, that maybe look like that meal might look like cookies, or it might look like not meditating and sleeping 10 minutes longer. But in that moment, that's what you need to feel just a little bit better. And when you can get that wheel going, then you can add more things in and you're going to want to. It's not going to feel painful. It's not going to feel icky. It's not going to taste disgusting.
Exactly.
So I could talk all day long with you, and I know you could too. But I kind of wanted to end going back to that Flourish program. I wanted you to kind of just go through the basic bullet points. Who's it for? If you feel like you're ready to change, when did it start? How can they contact you? All that nitty gritty stuff.
All the juicy details. Yeah, for sure. Not too many juicy details, but I think I said earlier, or maybe I didn't. It's a 21-day self-love program. And so I'll break it down a little bit more. Each week has a theme. So I'll share the three themes with you. I normally don't, but you and your listeners are extra special. But the first one is childhood and upbringing. So we talk about topics from our past that we might have bottled in and not really thought about, because that can really affect our mental health or why we feel like we need to be working so hard to prove ourselves, things like that. So we talk about that via picture prompts in a private Facebook group. And then we don't have prompts on the weekend. I learned people aren't as energized when it comes to talking about that stuff on the weekend. So on the weekend, we have a challenge or some sort of introspective prompt. And each day, along with the journal or along with the photo prompts, there are journal prompts too. So then people can write down on their own, you know, what feelings come up for them as they discuss these things. And they have a few more, I kind of push them in a way to think about some really deeper issues that might have been buried deeper down under the surface. So that's week one, childhood and upbringing. Week two is society and beauty standards. So we talk a lot about what everyone else around us, you know, in society expects us to feel when it comes to our bodies and those standards and how we meet the standards and how we fail the standards, how our body types, you know, fit in between what's expected and things like that. So that's week two, which is kind of, it can be kind of triggering. And each week I'd say is triggering for different people based upon where they are, where they're at in their self-love journey and also their background and experience. Because if they lived in a pretty quote unquote normal childhood or their parents, they are still together and they have a great upbringing, they might not relate to week one, but then week two might be more personal. And then the last week is going to be the inner voices. And so the things that we tell ourselves that people can't hear. So usually it has to do with the inner bully, the inner child within the, when I know you've led that guided meditation with inner child, but yeah, what is our inner child trying to tell us? And so we dig a little deeper into those inner voices and what it's telling us. And so what I love about Flourish too is this is in a community, like a private Facebook group of anywhere from 15 to 20 people. I want to cap it at 20 because it can be a little tricky trying to keep up with everyone. But the feedback I received is one of the favorite parts from the participants is having this community of people, and it's a female, it's women only. So having the women come together and realize, wow, I'm not the only one who thought this, or wow, I'm not the only person who felt that their body was good enough. And look at this person's gorgeous, and she's struggling through the exact same thing as me. And so it really helps to open up people's eyes to say, wow, I'm not the only one that feels like a failure. I'm not the only one who's alone and, you know, having a hard childhood. And there's some sort of like beautiful camaraderie that comes about of Flourish. And it's really cool to see. And it's, to me, I'm geeking out because it's a big science experiment. Like, what happens when I put all of these people together? And it's beautiful. Like, it's honestly, I think it's like magical because I see people come together and then I see them feeling more supported. And I see them typing in these comments of how they're feeling better and encouraging one another. And it's just amazing to see how women can lift each other up. So that like gets me emotional every time. Just to think that these women can learn how to love themselves more in 21 days. And, you know, you think like, ooh, lose 10 pounds in 21 days. You know, you think of those marketing things, but this is real stuff. And this is emotional. I think the harder part is it's not seen externally. This is internal work that we all need to do, but we forget to do. So that's my Flourish nutshell. And another component of Flourish I completely forgot about is that once a week on Wednesday nights, we're going to come together on a Zoom conference call, kind of like what we're doing now, but having this time to see one another and interact, and I can answer any questions and we can talk about our experiences. That was another helpful thing for past participants is that they could come on and they could say, you know, Amanda, what are some forms of self-care that you practice? Or how can I take this further? Or what do I do if I'm feeling triggered from a family member? And I can answer those questions in a safe environment, and they can continue to see one another and get to know one another in that group setting. So that is Flourish, and again, another larger nutshell, but that's my baby. I absolutely love it, and it's been amazing just to see the participants grow together. But my next Flourish program does start on August 12th, and yeah, I guess if anyone's interested, I don't know if you can leave comments or anything.
Yeah, we'll link this all in the show notes for you guys, so yeah. No worries.
Thank you. But that's kind of what Flourish is about. And I think one of my favorite parts too is that I get to witness the change from the participants. But then I would say self-love, like I mentioned, is a journey. I grow every time I participate because I include myself because I want to show the participants I'm real too. I have these struggles as well. And so it's really cool because I continue to grow and learn and feel more accepted into who I am and of who I am every time. So it's just great. I'm excited. And so, yeah, if any of your listeners would want to join me on Flourish, that would be phenomenal. But they can always contact me if they have questions. I have a link to a Flourish page that talks about the breakdown even more so of what it looks like. But that's coming up. That's on August 12th.
Beautiful. I know I've participated in various different group programs, and it is so powerful to have this sacred space held for this transformation, for this love, and to hear and support other women on their journeys and to relate and have empathy and sympathy is so, it's empowering, but like you said, it's so healing. No matter if you're a participant and or the coach leading people through, because it's amazing. We're all dealing with similar things, and learning through other people's stories and journeys can just be as impactful for your own introspection as digging deep. Well, in addition to digging deep.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to end just to say thank you so much for coming on here and giving us all so much valuable information and provoking ideas and conversation and I would love for us to be able to be of service for you. So how can our listeners help you out, provide you with some value, and serve you?
Yeah. Well, my mission is to help people love themselves more. So I will say the first thing the listeners can do is to focus on that. But honestly, because I think kind of what you said, if we can all raise that, the vibrations of...
Yeah, raise your own personal vibration, but it's the raise the vibration of the conscious collective or collective consciousness.
There we go. So if everyone could just love themselves more, that would help me because that helps my job. But on a more serious note, I think if what I said resonated, I would encourage people to check out my Instagram, both my personal and my professional. And if that's something that I'd be interested in following, go ahead and see if that's encouraging to you. Because like I mentioned earlier, I want to make sure that the people I'm following is worth my energy, if that makes sense. I want to make mm-hmm. sure that they're encouraging me and uplifting. So I don't want to tell people like, Lauren, have all of your followers follow me, because I don't think that would necessarily benefit everyone. So if that's interesting, if someone's interested in what I'm saying, check me out. I've got a Facebook page, but I would invite your listeners to look into Flourish. I think if anyone's feeling that they need to have a boost in that self-love but don't know where to start, Flourish will get you there, because it really does provoke you into thinking more about why you do what you do and what you can work on to change it in a supported and safe community. So I would say joining Flourish. I have a mailing list too if you're interested in keeping up with what I do and learning more about. I share my mailing list a little personal and professional, so it's a good mix for me.
Well, thank you so much again for coming on. I'm sure so many people are going to get so much out of this. And I hear from you soon. I'm sure you'll probably be back on again.
Well, thank you. I feel like we could talk about so many different things too.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, thank you. Talk to you later.
Thank you so much. Bye.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way. Hey guys, if you haven't already heard, this is the last episode of Witchy Wellness Radio for the time being. No worries, we will be back and ready to go on the first week of October. I'm sure if you listen this far in the episode, you like what you hear, and I don't want to leave you guys hanging all the way until October. So head over to Instagram at Lauren Chalantani and follow me, where I'm going to be posting more videos, more juicy content, and some giveaways. Also, feel free to go to my website, laurenchalantani.com/subscribe, to sign up for my email list. And this is where I send out juicy stuff like meditations or freebies just to email subscribers only. So please head over there, subscribe, keep in touch. I would love to hear from you. As always, shoot me an email or a DM, and I will talk to you guys very soon in October. Bye-bye.